Hi, I'm Adil Bandukwala.
And I'm Kaushik Satish. And this is the Great Indian Marketing Show, where we go behind the scenes with top marketing leaders.
We uncover not just what marketers do, but how. Today, we're very excited to have with us Sid Shakdar, Chief Marketing Officer at Disney Plus Hotstar. Sid leads marketing, consumer growth, and engagement for Disney Plus Hotstar. Sid has pretty much shaped the digital entertainment market in India by building the largest online entertainment properties that include the IPL that India looks forward to every single year, the super entertaining show from Bollywood, Coffee with Karan, and the legendary Game of Thrones.
Prior to Hotstar, Sid led a part of a $3 billion hardline retail business for Amazon in the US. He's also worked with Reckitt Benckiser in the US, leading their flagship brand Dettol, in addition to other business and marketing leadership mandates, earlier with Canon and HP. Welcome, Sid. Great to have you on the Great Indian Marketing Show.
Hi, Kaushik. Hi, Adil. Great to be here with you guys. Looking forward to our chat now.
Sid, let's start with an icebreaker question. We are heading into the final days of 2020. By all accounts, an extraordinary year. For you personally, if you had to look back and summarize the year in one word, what would that be and why?
A very challenging and a very different year. I think a year for scrambling more than anything else in my mind, and you know, getting down in the trenches and looking at growth from a completely new perspective and a challenging perspective. I think that's what would summarize the year for me. And we can go deeper into it, you know, as we go along. But yeah, that's how I would summarize it.
Yeah, scrambling sounds just about right. Sid, how do you articulate the role of marketing today at Hotstar? Is it as straightforward as driving subscriber growth and retention, or is it deeper than that? Can you give us a sense of where does marketing fit in the overall strategy?
Not at all. I don't think it's just driving subscriber growth. I've been with Hotstar almost 5 years now, joined it when it just started up. Maybe this would have been, you know, this was a single-minded task then. How do we grow the business? And, you know, at that point, we were at about 8 million users monthly and zero subscribers. Today, we are at about 180 million. And over the last 4.5 odd years, we are now at about 200 million odd monthly users. In times of cricket, it's more than that. It's about 300 million users and in excess of 20 million subscribers, which makes us the largest subscription service in India today, pretty much in Asia. I mean, excluding China, because we don't know much about it. It's a literal black box there. But pretty much in Asia, that would make us the largest subscription service, arguably, to my mind. So now it's not just about growth. There are many other facets that come into it. There's engagement and retention, which is a critical part of our growth funnel. There is a life cycle marketing facet that comes into it, which is another critical part of the growth funnel. There are leading and lagging indicators that we look at in terms of propensity to become a user on Hotstar, propensity to subscribe on Hotstar, propensity to churn on Hotstar. So there's a whole funnel of different kinds of propensities that now play into the mix as well. To give you an example, today when we market, we look at over 100 different cohorts in terms of marketing. And it depends from campaign to campaign, but on a more general level. When we started, I would have looked at maybe 5 or 10 cohorts, right? So a much more complex operation today. And it's not just building brand equity. On the other hand, brand equity has also gotten more complex, right? There is the hard growth numbers that we look at. There's the usership that we look at. But there's also brand equity and the space my brand enjoys in a person's life and the purpose for the brand, right? As more and more people get added on, as you go from having a person from a one end of the socioeconomic spectrum on your service to another end of the socioeconomic spectrum on your service, and as all of these and everything in between grows as well, how do you ensure that the brand doesn't look schizophrenic, right? In terms of what it's trying to say to different people, because they all want to hear very different things. But how do you ensure that the brand manages to do that without spending hundreds and hundreds of crores in cash and yet manages to mean something to everybody else in a very uniform way and a uniform manner? It's a difficult challenge to solve, you know, and that challenge multiplies with time as you get more and more users. The difference is if you're an e-commerce brand, you still need to buy things on an Amazon or a Flipkart every day, right? With Hotstar, yes, you need to see entertainment, but you cannot compare between two selections. Like you can go to Amazon and see one cell phone, another cell phone, etc. Comparisons are obvious. Here you can't. So that challenge of making your brand mean something to people is that much more pronounced here.
Got it. Fascinating. Thank you so much.
Sid, from a marketing viewpoint, can you unpack for us what are some key high-level metrics you look at as the CMO or business head, and why are they important to you?
Sure. You know, Adil, I look at three areas essentially. If I was to put together a framework for this, it would be three areas. One is my meaningfulness and relevance of my brand to the consumer, which typically is covered by things like brand equity. So brand equity score is an important metric, and there are drivers within each category for brand equity. Everybody's brand equity is dependent on different drivers, depending on which category you're in. So we look at those drivers and we look at the scores of those drivers. The second area that's important is usership and the life cycle progression of my consumers. I have two tasks, largely, right? How do I become the first platform for people to experience rich content? And by rich content, I mean curated content. So there is a leap from having a YouTube organically available on your phone and not being able to delete an app like YouTube from your phone to actually seeing stories and curated content, etc. How do I become that leap that people take into their first step into curated content should be with Hotstar. And then from there, how do I make them subscribers of the brand, which is obviously the highest level of engagement that you have with a brand. Right. So that's the second part. The third part for me essentially is as an NPS, as a promoter score. How do I ensure that not only do I have users, not only do I have people who are subscribers, but I also have advocates for my brand, right? And that's the third part I look at. And that brings in the funnel of consumer experience. And I've put it at the end, but really it starts from there for us. I put it not at the beginning, not at the end, I actually put it in the center. Because if that's not working, all the other things will also not work. That's the third part I look at, which is what is the consumer experience when he comes on the platform? What are the need states that we can look at? What are the consumer product fits that we can evolve into? So all of that. So that's, in a nutshell, if I was to give you a very high level view, that's what my function would do. And of course, this involves creative communications. This involves deep data analytics. This involves consumer insights, branding expertise, lifecycle marketing expertise, on-platform and off-platform marketing expertise. So all of these come together to deliver these three things that I spoke about, essentially.
Just quick question over there. You know, the last two categories are fairly clear, which is the NPS and the lifecycle progression. On the brand equity part, you mentioned that there are a bunch of drivers that you look at, and obviously these have to make sense for, you know, the various categories of audiences that you have. Can you just give us a sense of what these drivers are?
Sure. So, you know, every category has slightly different drivers. One driver that's common, for example, between most categories is brand salience. Salience is the memory structures you have of a brand when you think about it. How clearly does it come into your mind, you know? So that is pretty much a driver for most brands and most categories. But then there will be other drivers. Like for us, the drivers are being meaningful and being relevant, right? So the content that I have, the product, when I say product, I mean the content and the experience on the platform. Is the product relevant, firstly, to the people?
Okay.
Then is it meaningful in the sense that I have a lot of things, but am I showing you the right things? This is where the question of discovery and recommendation and personalization comes in, right? Is it meaningful to you, what I'm showing you? Or, you know, do you have to go crazy searching for it, etc.? So meaningful and relevance are the other two drivers. And then do I have the kind of content that you like? So, you know, that's where relevance comes in. So those are the other two drivers for us, right? For example, in e-commerce, I'm not sure exactly what their drivers are now. When I was at Amazon in the US, they must have been a little different than India. In e-commerce, I know for a fact that having the right selection that I want. Is this platform meaningful for me in terms of does it have the right selection that I want, right? That's an important driver. Salience is always an important driver. Does Amazon come into my mind or does Flipkart come into my mind before? I don't know, but they must be having a third driver, which is its pricing, convenience, delivery. I don't know how that gets grouped under, but that's a different one than what we have, right? Because we don't have that pricing or that convenience or delivery angle
ourselves.
Okay. So that's how, and different categories will, you know, for example, Dettol, a brand I used to lead in the US, one of the key drivers is efficacy, right? If you cannot convince a person that you can kill 99.9% of the viruses and flus, that is Dettol's gold. You know, that's what it's been based on. And that's why when all of this started, the first product that runs out of the shelf is Dettol, not a Lifebuoy, not a Savlon. Dettol runs out of the shelf first because that's how good the equity of Dettol has been built over time by, you know, different people and Reckitt in itself. So their efficacy is one key driver. So that's how, you know, key drivers vary between different brand equities.
Got it. Thank you.
That's awesome to hear, Sid. And I love the part where you spoke about personalization and the recommendation engine, because, you know, like most Indians, when I started using Hotstar, it was primarily for cricket and IPL. And slowly I started discovering content. I started discovering content that I absolutely love watching, like Billions, a series. There's another series called Industry that recently launched.
That's right.
You know, another one called Succession. I've been hooked onto it.
Sorry to interrupt you, but you should see The Undoing also. It's really good. Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant.
That's getting rave reviews.
Yeah. I'm going to note that down. But, you know, lately I've also got hooked to Indian content, because I've always been a watcher of English content. But, you know, something like Special Ops, I thought was phenomenally produced. Similarly, I thought I really enjoyed Arya, and Hostages as well was like a fantastic show. But moving on from, the personalization and content to trying to get a different sense of the team that you lead. You obviously lead a large team of marketers cutting across brand, digital, lifecycle marketing. Can you tell a little bit about how this team is structured or designed to drive your marketing strategy? And what do each of these teams drive at the end of the day?
Sure. Much like I explained my objectives and what I look at as a framework for Hotstar, I have a team that focuses on brand marketing. So this team does two things, right? This team does equity growth and moving all the drivers and making Hotstar more important to a person's life. And this is not the only team that does it, right? Everything makes Hotstar more important in a person's life, but I'm just saying from a marketing perspective. And then this team looks at, you know, how do I drive acquisition when we market above the line, right? So how do I drive sampling, trial, et cetera, when we do above the line marketing? Then I have a retention engagement or a lifecycle growth team, which essentially looks at how do I build a funnel to ensure a steady stream of premium subscribers coming from the users. It's a life cycle, right? You come to the platform. How do I make you a video viewer? How do I make you a more engaged video viewer? How do I make you a very deeply engaged video viewer? And finally, how do I make you a subscriber who's actually the top end of engagement for most platforms, you know? So how do I do that? So they look at all of that stuff, and then they look at it from different angles. They look at it from the angle of content. How do I build audience on a content? How do I build consumption of a content? And how they look at it from the angle of different audience cohorts. How do I build consumption within this audience cohort, right? Irrespective of whatever content they watch. So there's a team that focuses on that. Then there is data analytics, which sits in the middle. Basically, is the intelligence and the insights engine that feeds into these two teams. Literally, the life cycle and the retention and engagement team is all data-led. So every single thing they do comes from data that's mined from the consumption on the platform. So the data analytics team sits there. Then there's a creative comms team, which helps us market on a daily basis, not big marketing campaigns, but in terms of what we put out as titles, posters, thumbnails, all our posts, information to our consumers, social marketing. So they work on that. And then I have a strategy and partnerships team, which basically looks at how do we partner better with OEMs? How do we, it basically brings together that NPS aspect also that I spoke about, putting the consumer at the center and then looking at how we improve our advocates of our brand. So broadly, that's how the team is structured.
All right, so that's about five teams largely, right?
And then there will be smaller teams within them. So for example, digital marketing sits within these, consumer insights, media planning, all of them sit within these larger functions.
Got it. So how would goal setting work then, Sid? If you could just shed some light on that.
Sure.
If you were to sort of come up with goals for each of these teams, usually what's the process or cadence that's unique to Hotstar? Where does it begin?
Again, pretty much it all kind of flows down. We follow an OKR principle similar to how Amazon does it for our goal setting and our objectives. And we are all intertwined on our objectives and our key results between the many teams that I manage to other teams like product and technology and engineering, etc. For example, the brand marketing team will be goaled towards increasing the brand equity and on an overall level, increasing brand equity and adding new users to the baseline.
Okay.
A business as usual baseline, how to add new users to them. And on a more tactical level, the different campaigns that they do to add these users, the metrics of those campaigns, right? So what is the awareness for a campaign? What is the recall? Have they moved the intent to watch on Hotstar with that campaign? So those will be the breakdowns, and those happen on a more campaign to campaign level. But on an overall basis, it's how do I increase the equity, how do I increase the intent for people to come on Hotstar? And did that translate into numbers incremental to the baseline from new users?
Hmm.
The retention and lifecycle marketing team will, for example, look at how many people have gone from a sampler bucket to a highly engaged user bucket. How many people have gone from a user to a viewer bucket? How many people have churned on a monthly basis? And so, of course, these are targets that, you know, churn has to come down. People graduating into samplers for any platform. Samplers are for any business, actually. Samplers are the largest part of the pie. So how do I make samplers into more engaged consumers? Those are their goals, right? And at a lower level, they also have goals that they look at very tactically. So we have different platform levers, right? Like notifications, what you show on the masthead to people. So what was my reach on my promos, on my notifications, on my mastheads? How many people converted? What were the click rates? Which platform lever is working well? Which platform lever is not working well? How do I get more people to sample a particular title in a particular language? How do I increase the share of viewership I have versus TV, for example? So we carry a lot of TV programming, right? So if TV generates 100 minutes of consumption, how does Hotstar go to 20, 25, 30 minutes of consumption such that my share of consumption of that programming keeps on increasing?
Interesting.
So this team looks at that metric as well. So between different groups, they divide these metrics, but the overall metric is how do I reduce churn? How do I increase consumption, which is watch time, basically, by getting more people into the engage bucket and increasing their frequency, which is another major goal, getting people to come in more often.
Got it. You know, one thing you mentioned early on is that you said you're monitoring almost 100 different cohorts of audiences today. And I was very curious to understand to what extent data today drives decisions at Hotstar Marketing, right? Can you give us maybe some examples of the sort of data that you today are looking at to drive marketing decisions?
Look, bottom line, not a single decision is made without data of some kind. And sometimes you have incomplete data and, you know, you have to take a judgment call, but even there is data. There is incomplete data before you take a judgment call. I don't know what example I could give you because pretty much everything is run by data, but I'll give you two varying examples, right? One for which we don't have data in-house and one for which we have data in-house. So when you look at a marketing campaign, right, we kind of, before we roll out a marketing campaign, we test it using qualitative and quantitative research methods. And we look at many things when we test. For example, if it's qualitative, we test it with at least 30 people. And if it's quantitative, we test it with at least 2 to 3,000 people so that we are statistically, you know, relevant. And we look at many things in there. There's likability, uniqueness, relevance. What can we do to improve what we are saying? But at the end, what we try and look at always is a normative score, which is basically a score that the category has returned on all their tests. And are we beating that score or not? Right. And only then do we go ahead with that score. Normative score comes from everybody else in the industry who's tested their campaigns, and there's a database. And so we ensure that we are cutting through in that sense, in terms of our communication. If we need to change it, we change it. The other thing is that this is when you're doing things that don't have any data behind them. We still try to put data through consumer insights and market research, where we look at very data-driven quantitative methods. You know, just last week, we looked at a large number of people who came in for cricket on IPL, right? And it pulls in a large audience. How do we convert them to other kinds of entertainment on Hotstar? You know, so we've looked at data from the past years. We've seen people, and we do this every year. We've seen people who came in for cricket. We've seen the most effective converters of those people. Then we've gone back and seen the correlation. We've run logistical regressions and unclustered sequencing in order to find out the people who've converted, what is the cohort for them? So we're trying to find common variables within that cohort. And so using those variables, we formed a cohort from all the people who came in this year and run the right titles and the right kind of content to them as marketing when they've come to the platform or even if they've gone off the platform after watching cricket. We've retargeted them. So that's a deep example of, you know, how we use data that comes from us, right? Now, I'm giving you a very simplistic example. Typically, it's way more complex than this because you can also we can also layer on a DMP, which brings in third-party data and can bring in psychographic insights, can bring in other consumption and purchase insights. You know, for example, you may find people who've been looking at cars online are more given to a specific English kind of a show. So we have a
Do you have any examples there that you could share? Like, that sounded fascinating.
No, this is hypothetically I gave it to you. This is not something we ran, but this would happen. I don't remember. We run many different cohorts, right? So it's not just cars, it's also cell phones. And that's an example I can share. Like, we've looked at different categories of cell phones and people who've converted to shows from those cell phone purchasers. And there was a correlation, right? Sure. And it was surprising. You would have thought iPhones, Game of Thrones, but that wasn't the case. It came out to another different category of models that turned out to be the highest Game of Thrones watchers, etc. We've done that in the past when Game of Thrones was live.
Okay.
But we divide into different cohorts. We don't just do a cars or whatever. We see, so that was an example of where we layered third-party data onto our data and we ran sharper cohorts. I'll give you another example on cricket, right? I don't know if anybody else does it, but we run marketing to 100 million people while the match is on. Mm-hmm. About live moments in the match. So if Dhoni hits a six, for example, and you're on Facebook, I will make a creative on the fly that actually tells you that Dhoni has hit a six and shows it up to you on Facebook. And it's made from a text stream that comes along with the video feed. So we take the text stream, we ingest it into our systems, rules are applied on it. It picks from a creative bank, it composes a creative, it serves it up to a predefined audience set on Facebook. And this is all happening within seconds of Dhoni hitting a six. So we've built proprietary MarTech stacks. So MarTech stacks have been very important for me in the first 2 years. Now we've built those and we exploit those now. And so I serve this up to you, right? But along with that, I'm running a programmatic cycle on you where I'm serving you up not just this, but other creatives also. So what I found is that to a certain cohort, and it's established wisdom that hitting a six is the most important part of a T20 match, the most exciting part of a T20 match, right? But when I served it to a certain cohort, it didn't generate the same result that, say, a Virat Kohli walking in generated, right? So they also got Virat Kohli walking in. But a certain section of people responded from different cohorts, from different audience segments. A certain section of people responded better to that creative. So we went back, we pulled out this audience from each of those segments. We compiled one audience out of it. And basically the insight there was, they're hero worshippers. They don't watch cricket for the excitement of a six. They watch cricket for the excitement of watching Virat Kohli walk in or Dhoni walk in or whatever it is. There's a segment called hero worshippers. This is typically a marketing insight that we found using data and using programmatic and performance marketing using a MarTech stack. Otherwise, you would go in a traditional method. You would say, what is the insight? Why do people like cricket? Why does this person watch? Why does that person watch? But we didn't do any of that. We just composed. We got this insight through our performance marketing, and we built a segment and we had a creative, and then we pulled out this audience and we started serving them up the hero worshipping creatives, right? That worked better than a exciting moment in the match, six or a four or whatever creative. So that's the kind of power that data-led growth marketing can drive for you.
This is amazing. Thank you. So just one last question. I'm very curious about this. What do you look for in people that you bring onto your team?
A few things, right? I look for audaciousness. And these are also in sync with Hotstar principles, right? By default, we start looking at those as well. But since the beginning, I've looked at people who are audacious and go-getters. And the thing is, you know, you might not get there, but you try for it at least. People who are flawless in their execution. Because I think for a senior leader, there's less execution, more strategy and thinking. But even in that little execution, they need to be flawless. And I think people who are very data-driven in whatever they do. And like I said, sometimes there's no data. And of course, we have to make judgment calls a lot of time as marketeers. But for every judgment call, there is still some data that you can hark back to. You know, it's just about how deep you dig to find it and how wide you dig to find it. But I think those are the two or three things that I look at. I think everything else people can pick up with time and everything. But these are just things that you either have or you don't. So these I kind of look for in a person.
That was fascinating, Sid. I think we need to do another segment in maybe season two to just talk about your MarTech stack. But finally, what's the one superpower you believe you have that makes you a great marketer?
I don't know if it's a superpower, but it's a difficult thing for most people. And it does get difficult because I think the team that you put together, I mean, when I joined Hotstar, we literally put together a team from there. I think that's the real asset that I have, the people who work and make this happen, because otherwise there'll just be words in my mind. And the fact that they, at least I think, the fact that they like and respect me and that I inspire them, I think that's my superpower. Being able to inspire anybody in my mind is a real superpower. And being able to do that to your team, you know, ensures that all's going to be good at work if you can do that. So I think that's really my superpower for me.
Got it. Thank you, Sid. This has been one firecracker of a conversation and one podcast I wish had gone on longer, in fact. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, like a true content person, I'm leaving material for a season two. You never Absolutely. Do everything in season one.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we can do a Game of Thrones and make it 8 seasons.
I know. Adil would love that.
100%. Thank you, Sid.
Thank you. It was a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks.
Hey, that was our conversation with Sid Shakdar, Chief Marketing Officer at Disney Plus Hotstar. Thank you for joining us. And if you've liked what you've heard, don't forget to subscribe to us. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast networks. Until our next episode, this is me, Adil Bandukwala.
And Kaushik Satish, signing off for the Great Indian Marketing Show.